Psalm 119, 165. Very well-known scripture. Pardon me?
No.
You had it in your devotion today.
No.
Okay. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bring from this psalm a lesson for our hearts, strengthen us, take away the doubts and the fears, the trembling that we sometimes have when we're looking toward major experiences. May our faith be in Christ. We pray, Father, that our lives may be built on the foundation that we find in the Word of God. May we learn from this verse and apply this verse, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Only once have I ever preached from this verse, and it was 20 years ago. I keep notes of all of my messages, and surprise to me, I should have looked it up, I should have pulled it out, I should have reread it, not that I might preach it again tonight, but just for my own information, because it was listed under salvation messages. I preached an evangelistic message from this verse 20 years ago. I don't remember, I don't expect you to remember it either. There are just too many great scriptures in the Word of God. And it's difficult to get around to all of them, and particularly so when a quarter of my messages are evangelical, a quarter of them are dealing with salvation. So many of these messages are either adapted to salvation or we just don't get to them at all. This time, I'm going to correct my neglect. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. When the psalmist uses the pronoun thy in this verse, it reminds us that this is a prayer. The psalmist, whoever he is talking to the Lord. This is devotional. It's not meant as instruction, even though we can learn from it. This is not exhortation. Perhaps it is a testimony that the psalmist is presenting, but he's presenting it to the Lord. Something has been in this child of God's life. He's been tested, he's been tried, and he has found it to be true that there is peace. Yes. When we love the things of God. While it is prayer, it is not a request. He's not beseeching the Lord for this peace. This is a statement of praise. It was a part of his devotion and praise. Praise God, we have great peace because we love your law and nothing shall offend us. We'll start with the word peace. Nearly every sane person yearns for peace. Even those whose lives are spent being disruptive. There are people who love to disturb other people's peace, but they want peace for themselves. But even because billions of people define and demand peace personally, their peace often disturbs the peace of others. Take, for example, a baby. Its diaper is full, its belly is empty, so it screams with all its lungs, disturbing your peace because he wants peace. He wants to be taken care of. On a larger scale, we have nations. We could pick from any number right now, but the nation of Israel and groups like Hamas, they want to have peace. So what do they do to get that peace? They attack their neighbors. We make things rough on them. Ever since Adam's sin, there has been a fight for personal peace. And because of the universality of sin, there is very little peace in this world. Peace is a fleeting thing. We may have it for a little while and then it's gone again. We need to get it back. And even the child of God, those who have peace with God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, often they lack peace in other areas. Most people would never quote David, but most people would agree with what he says in Psalm 55. Oh, that I had the wings of a dove, then would I fly away and be at rest. But the writer of Psalm 119, David or whomever, praises God for his possession of great peace. What is this peace? It is the multifaceted word shalom. It can't be confined to simply a calm heart. It's not just tranquility. It's not just a lack of hostility. The word is found a great many times in the Old Testament, and it's translated a number of different ways. This word shalom is translated health. It's translated well-being or wellness, prosperity, safety, and a couple of other ways as well as peace. What would you think, or what would you picture, if we inserted some of those ideas here into this verse? Great health have they which love thy law. Is there any truth to that? Great safety have they which love thy law. We can be safe from the chastisement of the Lord when we love the law of God and apply it properly. Great wealth have they which love thy law. Elsewhere throughout the Psalms, various writers speak of the wealth that there is in the Word of God.
Yes.
Great happiness and joy have they which love thy law. All of these things are true in one sense or another. Not flatly so, but they're true in some ways. Great peace. Let's emphasize the word great. There's nothing surprising about the word. Great peace have they which love thy law. The psalmist is speaking to the omnipotent God. He is praising him for his infinite blessings. There's nothing greater than infinity. The greatness of this peace is beyond human measure. And all the psalmist can do is say, great peace have they which love thy law. But perhaps the greatness can best be measured by the lack of peace in special circumstances. When we don't have it, that peace can look really good. When we don't have health, when we're sick, health can look really good. When we don't have enough to pay the bills, wealth can look really fine. As David was living in the caves in the rocks, Saul was seeking to kill him. He had access to this peace. When Jonathan, going into battle against the Philistines, saw those arrows flying down in his direction, saw Philistines coming with their swords drawn, he could have had this peace. As Elijah's body melted away while he was in hiding by the brook Cherith, he should have had the peace that's being spoken of here in this psalm, because all of these people love the things of God. Perhaps because we are currently in good health, perhaps because our refrigerators are full and the rain is falling on our gardens and we are not at war with some enemy, we don't appreciate the wealth that there is in this great peace. But when cancer comes along, we have it in our body, it takes the life of our closest loved one, that's when we need access to this peace. And it's there for anyone, everyone, without exception, so long as they love the Lord and His Word. The psalmist's point is quite simple. There it is. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. But this great peace is available only to them that love God's law. 25 times the psalmist refers to law in this one psalm. Of course, it's a big psalm. 25 times. Sometimes he's obviously referring to the Decalogue. He's referring to the Ten Commandments. But sometimes it's difficult to confine his thoughts to one chapter in Exodus or even the entire book of Leviticus. Sometimes it appears that he's referring to what we find in Genesis or Joshua. He's referring to history and prophecy as well as legality. Great peace have they which love thy law. It's not that they shall have great peace because they love the law of God. No, they with the law of God comes this peace.
Yes.
They have it. It's God's own peace. How can the United States keep its people safe and at peace, not really knowing what the North Koreans are going to do, not really knowing what ISIS is planning, not really sure how many terrorists are coming across the border from Canada or wherever? How can we be at peace? Can we literally build walls? Can we build a literal wall high enough to keep nuclear missiles from landing in the United States? Impossible. Would a billion-man army give us peace? Some people might think so. Can we create enough anti-missile defenses to keep away a million killer drones that are sent to us from wherever? Do we have the ability to stop these things? We could create and threaten a greater retaliation. If you do that to us, we will do you twice as much. We could try to protect ourselves by threatening others. We could make preemptive strikes and destroy anyone who we think might have a grudge against us. We could try that. But in the meantime, here are thousands of people, millions of people, including Christians, who are worried about their physical safety because we can't do these things to protect ourselves. It is because they lack the peace that is offered in this verse that they are so concerned. We need to focus on what this verse is telling us and what blessings there are here. Of course, we need peace in a number of different ways. Peace about physical safety is not necessarily a bad thing. And congenial relationship with the people living across the road or across the border is a good thing. Of course, we need the peace of God, which is only available through the Savior.
Yes.
But there needs to be peace in our hearts. There needs to be inner peace, not just that connection with God through salvation. We need that which can actually comfort us, which means we need to have peaceful consciences. When we're talking about coming into the presence of God, we need to have a conscience that is devoid of disruption. This is the kind of peace we need when we go to the Lord in prayer. Just as we don't think of the pain involved in the blood of Christ, we don't think, we don't consider how dangerous it is to be in the presence of God with sin in our lives.
Oh my.
We think everything is under control. Well, praise the Lord for his salvation. But we still have to deal with sin. But great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend these particular people because they are in fellowship with the Lord. They are in fellowship with him because they are standing on the holy ground of his word. They haven't come to him with the modern levels of morality, the popular standards of morality. They haven't come up with their own ideas on how to approach God. They're not like Cain and so many others that we see in the Word of God. It's not because of their political connections that they stand in peace before God. They have great peace because of their relationship to the message of the Word of God.
Yes.
To what the Lord has revealed about himself in the law. And I'm not referring to simple mental agreement. Oh, I see I shouldn't do that, and I see I shouldn't do that. The scripture says something about love. The love of the Word of God. Great peace have they which love thy law. We're all aware of the fact that there are degrees of love. We might be willing to say that we like someone or we like something, but we wouldn't go so far as to say I love that thing. And then there's brotherly love and agape love. There are different degrees, different levels of love. But when we're comparing like to love, can't we say that the difference is in the depth of that affection? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. This is the first commandment. And the third commandment might be, thou shalt love the word of the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind. And the heart, the soul, the mind, the strength suggests a love which comes from way down inside. It's not superficial. Great peace have they which love, not like, not enjoy, not appreciate, not just study, love the Word of God, the law of God. To have this peace, the Bible needs to be our favorite book. It needs to be our basic theology book. It needs to be our romance novel. It needs to be our how to do it book. It needs to be all. One of the unique blessings of all of this is that the more we know of God's word, the more we will love it. It's the man who has merely been told about the Bible who criticizes it, who hates it, who rejects it. But cultivating a little bit of love for the Word of God is like cultivating a garden. It'll grow. Spend more time in it. It'll grow on you. It'll produce. The psalmist began by honestly confessing way back in, I think it's verse number 1. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And as we go through the psalm, we see a progression. Later he says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I want more. And the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. He's growing in this love relationship with the Lord's revelation. The deeper he progressed into the heart of God through the Word of God, the deeper grew his love for both the Lord and his Word. It's guaranteed. If we are children of God, the more we spend in the Word of God, the more we will love it.
Yes.
And the more it'll speak to our hearts. Amen. There is the source of the peace to which he referred. And by the way, when it comes to love, don't we take it as it is, whatever or whoever it is that we love? My wife, daily, sometimes more than once a day, will tell me that she loves me. I think she realizes I'm forgetful, so she constantly reminds me. She loves me even with all the foibles and the deficiencies and the disappointments that I create for her. She still loves me. That is a poor illustration for our verse. Not that this is a poor illustration. It's just for this verse. It's a poor illustration for this verse because there are no deficiencies in the Word of God. But the application is that we must love the Word of God even when it rebukes us, even when it corrects us, even when it challenges what we think to be true, when it teaches us. We have our own deficiencies and disappointments. The Word of God doesn't, and it will point those things out to us, and we, if we truly love the Word, will accept it nevertheless.
Yeah.
It is the Word of God. And we don't throw it aside simply because it has offended us in our sinfulness. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The Hebrew word offend is most often translated as some form of to cause to stumble, to offend, to cause to stumble. The first time it's used in the Bible, we read, "Thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God, I am the Lord." Stumbling block. Offense. We might say, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall cause them to trip and fall." We won't stumble over temptation when we love the law, the Word of God, the law of God, and know what it is that offends the Lord. We'll stand straight. When Peter and John were arrested, when James was killed by the Jews, the members of the church might have lost their confidence, might have lost their peace. Probably, if I had to guess, some of those thousands might have raced home and said, "We give up on this thing." But the majority didn't. They had great peace because they knew and they loved the promises of God. And that Christianity is not based in any particular pastor or theologian or whatever. They could be taken away. God had given them promises in his word, and they loved his word. Their peace wasn't gone. They knew that all things work together for good because they loved God and were called according to his purpose. When Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians, he was incarcerated in Rome. In the early part of that letter, he tried to encourage those Christians out of their fear. He did that in a number of different ways. He said at one point, "For me to live is Christ, to die, that's gain. Don't be worried about that." And then later on, toward the end of the letter, he says, "As for you, be careful for nothing. Don't be worriers. Look at the psalmist's words of praise. Be careful for nothing, But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Lord said through Isaiah, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. Let him be your fear. If you want to fear anything, fear in awe your Lord. Let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary. He will be your temple. He will be your castle, your high rock, but also for a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to the wicked. But you're not wicked. You're children of God, and you love the word of God. This is a world of tribulation. It's a world of strife. I suppose you've all heard the news about that young man who was arrested on Saturday. No? Over in Coeur d'Alene, 18-year-old boy was arrested Saturday. He had declared that on Sunday he was going to visit churches in the Coeur d'Alene, Post Falls area and walk in and stab people to death and burn the buildings down. This is the kind of world we live in. You hadn't heard that?
No.
This is the kind of world we live in. But you know, I would have liked to have known if we were on his list. But other than that, it's just curiosity. It doesn't matter what the world might do, what an insane 18-year-old might do. We have the peace of God. The child of God has access to peace through the Lord and his word. Peace should be a part of our testimony, as it was in this psalmist. It should also be a part of our witness to the rest of the world. We have something that they do not have. We have the peace of God. And how do we access it? Through love of his word.